These are scenes of war. The Libyan army under the command of Muammar al-Qaddafi shot to kill. These are the victims.
Benghazi, Libya. One day, at the hospital, leaving little doubt of what Gaddafi and his forces have done. That exclusive footage, plus the oil-rich city of Brega in the northeast, will be two angles of our coverage of the Libyan revolution from this past week here in Reality Check. Next stop, Karachi, Pakistan, showing Pakistani solidarity for the Islamic awakening in Arab countries.
Once again, hundreds of demonstrators took to the streets of Pakistani port city of Karachi to call for an end to Western meddling in the Muslim world and to show support for the Islamic awakening in the Arab world.
And what are these people mad at? I'm Kavit Akwai, and I'll give you the answer shortly in this week's Reality Check for week ending March 4th. Location Benghazi, Libya, the epicenter bearing the full brunt in the initial days of the Libyan revolution. Next stop, the oil and gas-rich town of Brega. Some observers say this fight is all about the oil. One reason why there's been a show of force by U.S. warships, joined in force by France, Canada, South Korea, and soon Italy, under the pretext of humanitarian assistance.
To open an investigation into alleged crimes against humanity committed in Libya.
These are scenes of war. The Libyan army under the command of Muammar al-Qaddafi shot to kill. These are the victims. Filmed by a Libyan photographer before the arrival of foreign journalists to Libya. For 4 days, Benghazi hospitals received hundreds, perhaps thousands of protesters shot by soldiers and, according to some witnesses, mercenaries hired by Qaddafi. Many did not survive. A week later, the wounded are still dying in El Jalil, the main trauma hospital of Benghazi. Off camera, this nurse said her brother shot in the stomach would not live long. The doctors in this hospital say the wounds show the soldiers were aiming at the neck, head, and chest.
He has quadriplegia. He can't move his upper or lower limb.
The wounds also show that soldiers used heavy arms, guns not intended for human beings, like those that fire these 14.5 anti-aircraft bullets. Some people were literally ripped in half. Images too graphic to broadcast. Others were burned to death. Their remains are in body bags on the ground. Some patients survived to talk about what happened. Three bodies fill every space in this morgue, and new coffins continue arriving to the hospital every day. The doctors here say that upwards of 3,000 people have been killed by Qaddafi's bloody repression.
Oil-rich Brega is situated some 800 kilometers east of the capital, Tripoli. Brega is the second largest hydrocarbon complex in OPEC member Libya. With its huge oil terminal, the town is considered the country's petroleum industry base. But more significantly, it supplies gas to Benghazi, epicenter of the revolution against Gaddafi's regime. Analysts believe if Gaddafi forces succeed in retaking Brega, they can isolate Benghazi and leave it without gas. They can also advance on Ajdabiya, another key town. Ajdabiya links the east with the west and south of the country. It's a major crossroads to key cities under the revolutionary forces' control, including Tobruk, Derna, and Al Baida. Gaddafi's son and the regime's mouthpiece says at the moment the town is controlled by what he called militia. Saif al-Islam Gaddafi has warned that no one would allow the militia to control Brega.
I've witnessed enough to have the faith and have the belief to fight for something, and which is our freedom and our rights in Libya.
People have so far managed to repel several attacks by pro-Gaddafi troops. And as things stand, the battle for Brega could prove to be the prelude to the capture of the capital, Tripoli, by revolutionary forces set to end four decades of Gaddafi's rule.
I challenge the United Nations to send a fact-finding mission and to prove that there weren't any peaceful demonstrations, nor there were any shooting on these people.
The program agenda took a look at how Libya was received internationally, especially, if you remember, by Tony Blair's famous last stop there before his departure from office, examining whether Muammar Gaddafi was the product of Western imperialism.
Muammar Gaddafi will go down in history as one of the most brutal tyrants, but was he a product of the Western imperialism he claimed to hate? Sometimes loved and more often loathed, this man went on to become one of the world's longest-serving leaders, with more than 40 years at the helm of Libya. His bloody and violent demise is a stark contrast to the small military coup which brought him to power in September 69. It was a bloodless affair against King Idris. During five decades, this political chameleon has outwitted and outfoxed his enemies. Gaddafi was regarded for many years as an enemy of the West because of his anti-imperialist and anti-Western stances. Western leaders, including former US President Ronald Reagan, who called him Mad Dog, accused him of funding international terrorism. But in recent years, he moved from a combative, obstructive role as far as the West was concerned to a man the likes of George W. Bush and Tony Blair could do business with. Tony Blair's farewell tour as British Prime Minister will largely be remembered for this.
One of the most abiding images in recent times of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi is this one. A beaming Tony Blair grabbed the hand of Gaddafi and declared to the assembled media, "It's good to be here." The British Prime Minister then signed his infamous deal in the desert, worth billions in the oil and gas trade, with one of the most notorious leaders in the world whose human rights record is also one of the worst. One gas contract with the oil company Shell was worth £120 million alone. In return, Gaddafi was to receive military equipment and training for his troops by police and military forces in Britain, on the basis it would safeguard Libya against so-called extremist threats. A question no one wants to ask in Whitehall these days is whether the mercenaries who murdered and slaughtered hundreds of innocent Libyans in recent days were trained and armed in the UK as a result of the Blair deal made 7 years ago.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, described the Islamic awakening sweeping the region as a magnificent event this past week. That included a show of support for Arab Muslims from across the world to have included Pakistanis in Karachi.
Iran's leader said regional developments must be closely observed and analyzed because they will no doubt affect global events in the future. Ayatollah Khamenei made the comments in a meeting with Iran's intelligence ministry officials. He said the United States knows that Iran's Islamic Revolution was the inspiration behind recent events, but wants to portray it as a movement that has failed. The Islamic Awakening was voiced in Pakistan this past week as well.
Once again, hundreds of demonstrators took to the streets of Pakistani port city of Karachi to call for an end to Western meddling in the Muslim world and to show support for the Islamic awakening in the Arab world.
This is the city center, and these people are gathered here to denounce the crackdown in Libya, Yemen, and Bahrain. They say they support the regime change and Islam-oriented democracies in the Arab world.
As the awakening of Muslims in non-democratic nations continues, the intentions of US and other Western countries of intervening to control the oil-rich region are increasingly under criticism.
These are not bread-centric revolutions, but revolutions to regain their dignity, something these people are deprived of since decades. The subjects of these despotic regimes were suppressed and humiliated. Those who are projecting these great movements as only the voice democracies are mistaken. Of course, these struggles are not for the failed and capitalistic model of democracy, but for the Islamic democracy.
The revolution in the Arab world is basically inspired with the Islamic revolution of Iran. It is not the bread-centric revolution. The people are demanding the democracy, the freedom, and the Islamic democracy and the freedom of expression. They are awakening. Now the ruling powers are trying to manipulate and hijack these revolutions. And they want to manipulate these revolutions, but the people are awakened.
Protesters are calling on the Pakistani government to strongly condemn the violence being carried out against pro-democracy protesters in the Arab world.
We can see in many different countries like Indonesia, the president had eaten up the people's money. In Egypt, the president Hosni Mubarak has been sitting there for like around 30 years. He had 10 different governments. And like the same is happening in Libya and Jordan, where they are crushing the people who are standing against them. So like we want to show our unity with them, and we want to inform them that we will stand by them.
With the air full of anti-US and Israeli chants, all the way from Libya to Pakistan, hopes are high for the freedom of all suppressed nations. Muhammad Turi, Press TV, Karachi.
Inshallah, we're gonna do it.